You were in St. Petersburg today talking about paid leave. Why?
Well, I've been going across the country talking about paid leave because it's an issue that's on the minds of so many working families. It's an issue they talk about around the dinner table every night. We're the only industrialized nation on earth with no paid leave law of any kind. And that's putting our nation at a competitive disadvantage, and that is really hurting working families. Moms and dads who have to make unconscionable choices between the job that they need and the family that they love. I applaud Mayor Christman of St. Petersburg because he put in place a very sensible policy for city workers. We were joined today by the CEO of C1 Bank and the president of the Tampa Bay Rays. They have put in place very forward-leaning paid leave policies and wage fairness policies for their employees, and I applaud those efforts. But people shouldn't have to win the boss lottery to be able to have a day off when your kid is sick or when your elderly mom or dad is in the hospital and needs your attention. And so that's what we're doing. We're traveling the country. State and local governments are taking the lead on this, and we're helping them do that. And we're working with many jurisdictions across the country. And today's event was designed to shine a light on the leadership of Mayor Christman and his team and people in the private sector here in the St. Petersburg area, and to really continue the movement that we're building around paid leave.
Individual cities or companies can offer paid leave, but you'd like something that Congress passes so that there's something across the whole country.
Absolutely. We need a federal law. We're the only industrialized nation in the world that doesn't have some form of federal paid leave. If my wife were to give birth in Germany, she'd have 14 weeks of paid leave under federal law. Every other industrialized nation has similar laws on the books. It's not a progressive issue or a conservative issue. It's common sense. It's enlightened self-interest. And we need to do so at the federal level, which is why the president strongly supports the Healthy Families Act, which is a federal paid leave proposal. And we're going to fight for that, but we're not going to wait for Congress. We're going to also, at the same time, work with our state and local partners, just as we've done on the minimum wage and just as we've done on a number of other economic fairness issues.
Shifting gears then to the minimum wage, you'll be speaking in Miami about the minimum wage. Why should it be raised?
Because there are too many people working 40 and 50 hours and getting their food from the food pantry because they're living in poverty. The federal minimum wage law was designed to ensure that people who are working hard for a living could live above the poverty line, not get rich, but would be compensated fairly. And the purchasing power of the minimum wage has declined precipitously because Congress hasn't acted to raise it. And the minimum wage has invariably been a bipartisan issue in Congress. The likes of Newt Gingrich and Bill Clinton working together, George W. Bush and his father before him worked with Democrats and Republicans to pass the minimum wage. And it reflects the very strong value statement that people who work hard should be rewarded. And that is exactly what we're doing in our advocacy for the minimum wage.
And finally, I'd like to ask you about a large workers' movement that's been building around the fight for $15 an hour. Would a $15 an hour minimum wage help communities?
Well, I met a number of people here in the Tampa, St. Petersburg area today who have been involved in that fight. And I think that, you know, workers need a raise. We've had flat wages across this country for all too long. So many people haven't had that meaningful raise. That's why the president strongly supports a bill that's currently pending in Washington to raise the minimum wage, the federal minimum wage, to $12 by 2020. We also recognize that state and local governments should be free to go higher than that because the cost of living in Seattle might be different from the cost of living in St. Petersburg. And so that federal floor is critical because right now the floor is below the poverty line, and that is not right. And right now what we're doing is we're subsidizing the low-wage business model that all too many companies have put in place, and we're subsidizing it because people end up having to be on food stamps. So if you want a proposal that will reduce reliance on food stamps and other forms of public assistance, raise the minimum wage. That is something that would reduce the ranks of food stamp recipients literally by millions. And so that's why we will continue to advocate, because it's the right thing to do and it's the smart thing to do. When you put money in people's pockets, they spend it. And when they spend it, businesses sell more products, restaurants have more customers, and it creates a virtuous cycle. And right now, our minimum wage is way, way too low. And so we're going to keep fighting hard. And I think it's unfortunate that the state of Florida has chosen to preempt local jurisdictions from going above the federal floor. I thought local governments, and having been in local government, I think that the local governments know best what is in the best interest of their jurisdiction, and they ought to be allowed to go above the federal floor. But regrettably, Florida has prevented jurisdictions from doing that. I think that's unsound public policy.
Secretary Perez, thanks so much for your time today.
Take care. Have a good day.
Thank you. You too.